This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Studio Chris Jason with us for an hour. Also, we, celebrate the Phillies. They basically won a playoff round last night. I mean, Ruben, that's a fair way to put it, right?
No question.
They got a bye. They won a round last night.
Yes,
let's listen to as the game ended. Now, you don't know at this moment that the Phillies have the bye because the Brewers lost a couple minutes later, but let's listen to how last night ended.
3-1. Here's the pitch. Swung on, line to left center field. Hayes on the run. He will make the sliding catch, and that'll end the ball game. And it'll end the home slate with the Phillies' 54th win of the season here at Citizens Bank Park, a 9-6 victory over the Cubs as the Phillies inch closer to a first-round bye in the postseason.
And then minutes later, they got that bye and that whole deal. They're going to start on Saturday of next week, so two Saturdays from now will be game one. Game two will be Sunday. We don't yet know how many off days there will be, and the pitching rotation obviously is to be determined, at least for us to know.
That works out so well with the football, the bye.
It's pretty good.
Everything. No, we are on bye. It's perfect.
It's pretty cool.
I can focus completely on the two games Saturday, Sunday.
No, I agree with you, John. So let's talk about focus, Jason. The last couple of years when the Phillies made it, you've been involved a little bit from afar down at the ballpark. The one night you're chugging the beer, you're watching some games, but you're also an active player. Do you expect you'll be able to watch more, attend more, over the next 3-4 weeks if they go on a run? I know you got to do the ESPN thing, so that gets complicated. Do you think you'll be able to watch more than you had the last couple years?
Yeah, well, there's less distractions trying to prepare. I mean, when you're preparing for a week in the NFL, you're really dialed in on that opponent, right? So you don't have as much time, especially when you get it. So I probably will be, but I mean, I was pretty dialed in the last couple years too. And I think the one time I was down there, that might have been during a bye week for the Eagles. Like, I think we've had some buys time up well with the last postseason runs as well. So I've been dialed into the postseason. I don't know if there's, postseason baseball is pretty dang cool, right?
See, if I knew that, I would have had a rip you. I'd say not focused enough on the.
I think we were good during those parts of the season.
Just kidding.
Maybe we should have needed we should have been watching baseball the second half of the season. That would have improved, maybe.
That's right. Ruben, let's a couple quick postseason questions. Let's just drill down on some issues that are really key for Rob Thompson to figure out here. All right. Let's just go fast. Ruben, who in your opinion should be the second and third starter in the first round the Phillies play?
Nola, then Sanchez.
In that order?
Yes, correct.
And Ranger goes to the bullpen and becomes an effective lefty in the first round in the bullpen, the first round they play?
Probably, unless they actually need him to start a game. I don't
game
think
four
need him
if
it doesn't work out.
All right, so you said Nola, then Sanchez?
Correct.
I'm with you.
No.
I'm sorry.
Wheeler, Nola, Sanchez.
Right. Now, I'm with you. A lot of people disagree. We'll see. Yep. We'll be doing a poll on that one. That's a big one to figure out. Here's another one, Ruben. Left-handed pitcher starts. Is Hayes your left fielder? And if so, Marsh, who can't hit lefties in center, or Rojas, who can't hit anyone in center, who's your center fielder?
I think it depends on who the pitcher is and how much defense they need out there. I think he'll probably go with Rojas. And I think you saw some of the things that Rojas can do when he's in the nine hole, bunting, hit and run. You've seen him do some of this trial run in a sense, and he's actually passed the test.
These are big decisions. Is Austin Hayes an everyday player?
I don't think he is an everyday player right now. I only platoon him right now.
So then
what
Rojas
about Stott
really
and,
plays?
What about Stott and Marsh? Like, how do
so,
they...
So you mean Stott and Sosa?
Stott and Sosa, yes. And Marsh being a part-time guy, too. Like, it feels like Stott, who I thought was an everyday guy forever, like now toward the end of the season, I see Sosa out there a lot more than I have, and I wonder what that means for Stott.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a coin flip right now because Sosa can impact the game from the right side at second base. So I'll be fascinated by that decision.
This is really going to be something.
That's a Bryce big one. Again, Stott at the end in the playoffs in favor of Edmundo Sosa.
It is possible. It's possible. I don't know that how he's going to go, but it is possible. I mean, listen, Stott is one of the best, if not the best. Maybe Nico Hoerner might be the best second baseman, but a close second is Stott. And the defense matters to Topper. It matters a lot. And Mundo Sosa is very good, but he's not Bryson Stott.
But I want to bring one more question, then right back to the phones and so much Eagles with Jason here. So, Ruben, one more. If the whole outfield is struggling on that side, the Rojas, the Hayes, the DeMarsh, like if they're not hitting, that's not inconceivable. Is there a scenario Schwarber plays left field and you get a Cody Clemens or a Weston Wilson or someone in there and there's a different DH reality?
Absolutely not. Unequivocally, no.
Well, those guys better hit then.
Well, Wes Wilson and Austin Hayes are probably fighting for a spot on the roster.
Well, I'm just saying, Austin Hayes, Marsh, and Rojas better get ready to hit.
Well, Austin Hayes has a pretty good track record against left-handers.
Well, he hasn't done much here.
I don't think they're going to see that many left-handers. Yeah. If you start looking at the lineups, there's not a ton of left-handers are going to see.
We'll see.
A lot of righties.
Let's go to the phones. Jason in studio with us here, 215-592-9494. Some fascinating decisions for Rob Thompson and the organization in the next couple of days. Anthony right now in New Jersey. Anthony, good morning.
Hey, good morning, you guys. How you guys doing?
Doing great, Anthony.
Hey, Jason, man. Pleasure to speak to you, man. Big fan, man. I appreciate everything you've done for this organization, man. May God continue to bless you, man. You deserve it.
Thank you very much, Anthony. I appreciate it.
Hey, I want to talk a little bit about Jalen Hurts, man. I believe, man, I want Jalen to be the guy that we need, man, but I don't think he is, man. That last drive last week, man, I was banking on the interception. If I had to put my house on it, man, I would have, man, but he proved me wrong in the weirdest spot. So it's like I don't know what to make of Jalen, man. Give him some more time or what, man. What you guys think?
Well, I'll tell you what I think. I think Jalen's a really good quarterback. He's among the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I think that he's, if you look at his win percentage, he's far and away over the past three seasons one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. Now, last year there was some issues. Turnover started creeping up in the second half of the season. We really struggled. And that's not only Jalen, that's everybody included on the offense and defense. But I think that he's looked a lot better this year. I think that they're showing a lot more promise. He looks more comfortable. He's handling the blitz much better. There has been clear development in all of these weaker areas, and I expect the turnovers to get corrected. And I thought the end of last game didn't end in an interception, which I really liked. Dallas Goedert caught that outstanding crosser, and as Jordan Mulata said, unhitched his trailer enough to get it down there to the five. I think that there are far worse quarterback problems to have. Jalen Hurts isn't a quarterback problem. He's a fantastic player, and he's getting better. And I think the biggest thing you want to see with players is how do they respond to adversity. Last year was really the biggest form of adversity that Jalen has had to this point of his career, coming out of a Super Bowl run and all of us struggling, but including him down the stretch. And I think it's been a really, really promising side this start of the season that he's made improvements. He's had the self-awareness of what he needs to get better at, and he's improved at that.
Hey, Anthony, give me a great answer. Okay. This is for Kevin Hart tickets. What has happened only one time ever?
Hey, before my answer, man, Hammer, I got a fun fact. Guess who has more sacks, more tackles than Bryce Huff?
Who's got? Right, let me think about this. So it's going to be a random.
I was going to say everybody. Oh, I know. Is that not right?
It's Jalen Hurts.
Is that the answer, Anthony?
Brent Covey.
There you go. Right idea.
That's not good, man. Hey, that's not good.
My answer is the Titanic.
Well, it only sank once, but the concept of a boat sinking has happened more than once. But yes, the Titanic, that's the only time it sank. Let's listen to the moment. You know, Jason was just referencing there with Jordan Mulata. So this was funny stuff. If you haven't heard this, check to that play. phenomenally well run by Dotson, who picked without picking, like picked without interfering physically. So it's a legal play. But he basically, you're hoping sometimes to get two guys to run into each other. He gets three guys to run into each other.
Triad.
So Goddard catches and runs. As he's running, you know, Jordan Mailata is mic'd up. And this is a very funny moment as Jordan Mailata is watching Dallas Goedert run.
Hurts is back. Hurts steps up. He fires.
Trying to get some of it back. They'll get plenty. Dallas Goedert is right up.
Go, son. Go, son.
I'll hook the trailer, damn it. 60 yards from Hurts to Goddard.
Dallas, you slain,
motherfucker.
I'm sorry. I'm happy.
I'm happy.
He's talking himself into that. He's like, I really wish we would have just scored and we could just
sure. Jason, have you ever heard him use that unhook the trailer line before?
I have heard that before. I don't know that I've ever heard Jordan say it. Jordan is just such a unbelievably awesome personality. And you want to talk about leaving and like seeing guys, how they transition. He has taken such an awesome step as a leader in that building and as a player. His personality is just outstanding. He has that rugby feel and he's carried that over into football. And what I mean is like, when, I don't know if you guys have ever hung out with rugby guys. They all just want to hang out, drink beers, and be like a part of the group.
That's right.
Right? There's my dad played in a rugby league when I was growing up, and all those guys did that for is just to go to the bar afterwards and drink beer. That's the only reason they did it. And that's the kind of vibe you get with Jordan. He's a guy that just makes everybody happy. I remember going to an OTA camp practice, and we had just gotten Mekhi Becton. And it's like, you know, there's a lot of noise out there, like who Mekhi is and, you know, is he going to pan out here? What's his work ethic? Like all that stuff. And I see Jordan out there having fun with him and running with him. And he's a scout team guy holding a bag and he's making Mekhi run just by his energy and effort. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it was a really awesome moment for me because like he just gets it. And he also wonderful sound bites in his Australian accent.
And well. A wonderful voice, to say the least. All right, on the Phillies got the bye Thursday morning, and the Eagles got the Bucks coming up in 3 days. Good morning to you. Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie. We got Ruben Amaro in studio. We got Rhea. We got Seltzer. We got Jason Kelsey, as he is every single Thursday at this time, brought to us by his company.
Hey.
Garage Beer. Get yourself some Garage Beer.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life. But that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Jason, let's talk about your transition to broadcasting. So it's been a couple weeks now, mainstream broadcasting, let's call it.
Yeah. Because,
you know, the podcast and the whole thing for some years now. But the Monday Night Football gig and that, what has it been like for you? And what has surprised you doing these first couple weeks?
I don't know what surprised me because I didn't go in with too many preconceived notions about what to expect. But I think just the amount of football you have to watch. I mean, when you're preparing for an opponent and you're going to, you know, the NovaCare Complex every day and you're watching tape, that's way different than, watching multiple games, you know, hopefully every game and all the games of the teams that are playing that week. It is a lot of football games to watch and keep track of. There's definitely an immense amount of respect for people that are doing this, have done this for a long time. The guys that I'm on set with, I've really leaned on them to like help me because it's hard. It's hard to really be able to, you got to come in there with energy. You got to come in there with the right mindset. And when it's live, you have to be able to offer something of substance in that moment. When you're podcasting, mm-hmm. I can just mess around with my brother. In a span of 2 hours, we're going to get some interesting stuff just talking. right? It's going to happen. And I go on enough tangents that that helps. But I think that the doing that on a Monday Night Countdown, a structured show with commercials, you get a certain segment in there. Yeah, but at the same time, you kind of have to go with wherever it's going. It's been fun to be a part of and also humbling for sure.
Jason, does it feel like you're at a disadvantage because you've been playing? I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but the other guys that you're on set with,
yeah.
they've been talking about yeah. the game every year for the last several years. You were out there playing. Yeah. You weren't worried about formulating, you know, ideas to talk about, comparing teams and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it set you back a little bit? Like you're playing catch up now. Yeah.
I think being recently out of football definitely has disadvantages of not having experience and really understanding what the viewer wants to hear. Like different even just like phrases and things like that, I think that go a long way. I think that it offers a lot of advantages of stories, timeliness. You know, I just played this coordinator last year. I know he likes this, totally. This, and this. Like, there's definitely advantages to it.
Everyone wants to hear that. That's
no question.
But
no
there's
question.
Certainly the disadvantages are that I've never done this before, and I don't know what I'm doing. I'm out there winging it on a national spotlight with a bunch of other guys that thankfully do know what they're doing. But I also I'm still transitioning also to thinking about the player from an analyst role, not a player role. And like Ryan got me last week, like, you know, I'm watching Jacksonville play and like, man, if they can just improve on third down in the red zone, like the offense could actually be pretty good. And Ryan's like, yeah, but they're not good on third down in red zone. So they're bad. And I was like, yeah, but so I still think of it in terms of like, hey, let's do this, this, and this better. We'll be a better team as opposed to, like, what are they right now? And yeah. just look at it there. And wow. that was a
face
good moment
value.
For me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you, yeah. John, I think you do the
I
same
make
thing.
That, it is hard
frequently.
To break that habit. Yeah, yeah. You see that and you assume that they will continue to work on these things because clearly they should.
right.
And it'll just get better.
So, yeah. Jason, what I always tell John, I mean, amongst other things, well, the other 31 teams are working on it also. So, like, you know, it's not a one team.
Right.
Whatever I'm trying to say. This yeah. is not a science experiment with only one constant.
Yeah, if we only do better against the blitz, we'll be much yeah. better at the end of last season.
All right, let's go to the
Unfortunately,
phones.
Unfortunately, it never happened.
Mixing in some calls with Jason here with us for about an hour. Let's talk to Randy calling from Delaware. Hi, Randy.
Hey, how you doing, the cantaloupe? How you doing today?
Let me tell you something.
Oh, wow.
It's a falsity. It was not I with that cantaloupe. It's my roommate.
I know, but I say that every time I call you, buddy.
I like it, Randy. I don't think Joe likes it.
Well, it's a little uncomfortable. You're getting accused of improper...
Of hollowing out a cantaloupe.
Inappropriate relationship with a cantaloupe?
Yeah.
Improper usage?
In the words of Bill Clinton, I did not have sexual relations with that cantaloupe.
You said
that's exactly what Bill said.
Roommate heated it up in the microwave.
He did. He did. He did. All right, Randy, what do you got for us?
Wow,
Jason's like, what the hell is happening right now?
Yeah, I mean, we all
have, heated it.
We all have some stories from college. We'll leave those there.
Yeah, right.
All right, Randy,
I'm
go ahead, buddy.
Man, I'm looking at the Eagles D line, and I'm pretty excited about having Jalen Carter on our team. I think he's got that, in Nick Sirianni words, that dog mentality. And I wouldn't want to be standing across from him when he's heated up in the middle of a game. I mean, just watching him, he comes off firing off the ball, going nuts. So if we could just, and I'm the same way. I when it comes to my way of thinking, Jason, mm-hmm. I'm more about the team. It was my job. It takes a team effort, and I'm constantly trying to think of something that's gonna better the team. So, yeah, you know, I can get that. I just think that we need to get somebody on this edge and get somebody coming off the ball to get to this quarterback. That's our biggest thing.
Yeah, it's a fair criticism. I think Jalen Carter was. If you look at the Atlanta game and last game, what happened in Atlanta? He played one of the best guards in the league, an All-Pro, and Chris Lindstrom. And Chris Lindstrom did a good job against him. And Jalen had his moments as well, but that neutralized Jalen Carter. And right now, so much of what's flourishing on that D-line is caused because of Jalen Carter. And when you're kind of handcuffed to one guy, like if I'm an opposing offensive line coach, I am trying to take Jalen Carter out of the game. And I'm doing that structurally. I'm doing that in four down with calls and things like that. I'm going to do everything I can to not give that guy one-on-one matchups with people.
Jason, is that part of why he gets frustrated and starts yelling at people in the stands? I mean, does that add up by the end of a game where you're getting doubled and tripled?
Well, I know Aaron Donald used to get really pissed when we would double team him. Like, Aaron, I'm not going to let you ruin the game. Like, what do you think? Why would I leave you one-on-one with a guard? You're the best player in the world. So
you guys handled him so well through those.
I'm serious. Time. We put two people on him. That's the best thing ever.
No, but other teams did too.
Yeah, no, but other teams didn't. There's structural things that we would do that other teams wouldn't go that far.
Gotcha.
Like, there's five down fronts where it's like everybody in the world, if you put a five, and I think it's whatever, everybody in the world puts a five down front up, it's going to be a man call and a six man protection. It's going to be mano a mano. If Aaron Donald's there, we're like, no, we'd rather have the back block the defensive end than let this guy have a one-on-one matchup. We feel better with that.
That's taking a chance.
I think that is where we went further with it to really neutralize him, because we felt like he was that big of a game record.
That's something.
So I think that Jalen is not at that level yet, but he's going to see these double teams. He's going to see the slide going his way. You need other guys. BG, when he's gotten his minimal reps, has still looked like the same guy that he's always been.
Yeah.
Josh Sweat looks great at times. They really need to get Huff going, and I don't know what the answer to that is. It just seems like he's a little bit lost at times, and he just isn't in a rhythm, and sometimes maybe designing games where he can hit things at full speed, blitzes where he can slant in and use his speed to his advantage. I thought he did better setting the edge this week in the run game. Like, you can tell he wants to improve, but still hasn't had the production as a pass rusher.
Hey, Randy, give me an answer. What's only happened one time?
Well, right quick. Can I say something to Jason right quick?
Sure.
Jason, I wanted to thank you. I'm the guy you texted that was having some mental health issues, veteran.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I want to jump on here and thank you for that, brother. You helped me out. I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Randy.
That was straight up crazy, crazy cool, man. Kind of, I was doing crazy stuff that I wouldn't realize. And when I got a message from Jason Kelce, I kind of snapped out of it. You know what I mean? So I really appreciate what you did, man.
Of course.
Randy, God bless you, man. That's an amazing story there. Randy, what only happened one time?
Only happened one time.
Yeah, this is for Kevin Hart tickets.
Ooh.
Kevin Hart tickets. What only happened one time? I only fell in love one time with my wife.
That's a great answer.
There you go.
That's a great answer. Now, other people have fallen in love.
Yes, I've only fallen in love with my life one time.
We need to clip that out so we can send that over.
Holy mackerel. That was something. Jason, what's something that only happened one time that's really notable?
Oh, my.
Like, here, some of the answers we heard today. D.B. Cooper, the only time someone hijacked a plane and never got caught. Like, ultimately, the plane's got to land somewhere, you know, obviously other than September 11th, different scenario.
Yeah.
But like, you know, at some point you're going to get the guy that tried to hijack a plane.
Yeah, I didn't know that anybody had gotten away.
That guy jumped out of the plane.
In a parachute.
They never found him. Okay, so you got that guy. There was smallpox, which is the only disease ever eradicated. These are some heavy answers. What is something... Now, by the way, non-sports, not allowed to say Eagles win the Super Bowl. That's
a good one. It's probably my favorite.
Me too, buddy. Me too.
Yeah. Well, now that Randy, was it Randy took?
It's a hard one, man.
Yeah.
Randy.
You think that might be too much?
No, it's good. I think I would say one time we have only. Can't say sports.
Let me play Nick Sirianni audio real
quick.
While you think about that,
yes.
Let's go back to yesterday, because John, we're all trying to figure out the Sirianni thing, his role. He gave an answer yesterday, more clarity, but also to me, it's like a slightly more confused, because I just don't know exactly where the lines are drawn. Here's Sirianni yesterday, his role in the offense, his role with the team. Here's Sirianni yesterday.
I'm still in there, and still, you know, I think, you know, in the past, it's. You know, it's been kind of going through the game plan and saying, hey, we're going to do this, 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 and this. And then in these scenarios, sitting in there listening a little bit more, not running the ship as far as like, hey, I'm driving. We're going to talk about this. I'll lead the direction of the conversation. It's more now I'm sitting passenger seat, listening to the conversation, adding my information again. I'm not going to be shy to say, hey, here's what I think in this scenario or here's what I think in that scenario. But it is more, you know, I'm letting Kellen run the, you know, drive the car.
You know, I got to tell you, there's
I wish he would just stop answering these things.
You think he should stop?
I wish these things would stop being asked. Like,
but we asked because we don't.
It is an impossible thing to describe.
Yeah.
What he's being asked to describe. Yeah. This is like, okay, so you're overseeing everything, Nick. Like, I really don't think this is fair to Nick.
Well,
and I'm not a huge Nick fan. I think that this is an impossible ask.
So here's
Nick,
tell us
with exacting description
what
you do.
Well, here's the thing. So, Jason, here's where it got more complicated this week. And John's right. He's talked a lot, and maybe he should stop answering it. I don't know. But where it got complicated is he obviously overruled Kellen Moore on the play. And we had wondered, does Nick have the authority to call a play this year? And what we found out
is yes.
Is the answer is yes.
Yeah, and I first of all, I don't know that he overruled Kellen.
Maybe let's put it this way. He called the play.
He made the play. And I think that
yes.
Nick is in charge of certain situations. Right. Like that's what your main job is as a head coach. And in these critical situations, whether it's timeouts taken, game management, fourth down decisions, that's where he is spending all of the time allocated towards what these analytics are, what the metrics are, what's the right decision in those specific ones. And I think that that's what he means with those moments when he's talking about taking over play calling. And I think that like that probably happens on defense, too, knowing when to call timeouts and everything. This isn't like a. Has to do with offense. But, and I feel for him with like trying to describe what you do because really his job is to organize everything. He's making all of the decisions on what these guys do, what they're in charge of, what the offense looks like, what the defense looks like. He's overseeing all of it. Like, what does a CEO do? I don't know what a CEO does, but I know that they're in charge of facilitating the entire organization's stance in all of these different facets. That's what Nick Sirianni does. And he makes critical decisions when it means the most. And I think by and large, he gets those really, really right sometimes. There's some like this last week where it's like, man, I don't know if that was the right one. But I think that he's by and large very good at clock management and fourth down decisions.
Let's do two final things here, Jason. We appreciate you being in here for an hour. Two final things. We had a poll yesterday, audience, thousands of people voted. Do you believe in Nick Sirianni as the Eagles head coach? Like a simple question, take it where you will. Mm-hmm. Do you believe in him, yes or no? More people said no than yes. You've been a big advocate of him since the beginning.
Yeah.
What is it that you see that we don't see as much that gives you more belief in Nick than many other people?
Yeah, well, I see him every day where I did, right? Yeah. I have a personal relationship with the guy, and you see his investment in the team. You see his willingness and ability to make the team better regardless of what's at stake, whether it's personally for him. It might not even be the best interest in him, the way he answers a question in the media, the way he, gives up play calling, all of these things that he's done in the past and is still doing shows me that he has an accountability to the team to do what's in the best interest of those guys. He truly loves his players, and he is doing the best he can in trying to make the team better. And I think that by and large, he's doing a great job of that over his entire tenure. Obviously, last year, we struggled. We struggled big time on offense and defense. We replaced coordinators. We replaced one coordinator in the middle of the season. Yeah. And everything that happened with players gone and coaches in didn't work. But I think that he's had a very successful tenure. And I think that a lot of that comes down to his competitiveness, his desire to be the best coach he can be and improve. And he's continuing to do that. And I saw that on a day-to-day basis. You see it as the way he answers questions in the media. Guys respect that, and then he also keeps guys accountable. I'm not messing with – I'll say this wholeheartedly. He's the best team meeting coach I've ever been around.
Wow.
Like, and I wasn't with Bill Belichick. I know Bill
because
would do similar things.
Because he held your attention?
Yeah, well, and I was also young with Andy, so I wasn't, like, evaluating Andy Reid as a head coach in team meetings. Like, I was just like, whatever you want me to do. I'm a first-year player, right? Like, I'm not in that mold at that point in my career. Hmm. But, no, he would hold guys accountable. He's showing plays. He's showing what you did well and – pointing it out and celebrating it. He's showing where we need to improve at and what went wrong in the game. And he's putting his name up there. He's putting my name up there. He's putting defensive players' names up there.
Calling everyone out if they deserve it.
And it's not like a calling out. It's just like, hey, we're being accountable here. We need to improve this. And like, there's something about that happening in a team meeting when everybody's watching that it means a lot more. There's a level of openness that, okay, everybody is seeing that the D-line struggled in this. right? Because when it doesn't happen in the team meeting, like, everybody kind of knows it, but it's not apparent. Like, now we're going to show this. We're going to show somebody losing a one-on-one in a practice in front of the whole team. So,
and that's,
you're
going to
go out there the next day.
Yeah.
You want to be embarrassed in front of all your peers
right
in the next meeting? So I think he does a lot of things really well. He's certainly not perfect, but I just really have appreciated those aspects of him.
Do you think that players, because he is holding practices that are 45 minutes, you know, that is kind of nice. You know, you guys are appreciative of that side.
Correct.
He is kinder, gentler. Mm-hmm. Does that influence the way you feel about Nick because he's easy?
I think that regardless of whether a coach is, I guess, kinder or gentler, all coaches have their own way of coaching. I have seen Jim Washburn say some things to D. Lyman that I'm like, you couldn't say today. Like, I saw him say stuff I saw him say stuff to D. Lyman where, like, dude, that's like, what are you doing right now? Guys loved him. And they would have run through a brick wall for Jim Washburn. It more comes down to, at the end of the day, does the player feel like this guy really cares about me and does he want the best out of me? And however you get to that. Now, I don't think that people just like Nick Sirianni because the practices are easy. I don't think that at all. I think that, and this year they're not. They've been practicing harder this year than they ever have under his tenure. And the guys want to improve at the game. They might hate practicing hard at times, but at the end of the day, people want to get better. And when the coach is doing it with the right intentions and he's genuine and it's not some show, which I've seen as well, which that's way more annoying. A guy going up in front of a team and ripping people, if it's deserved and it makes sense and it's true, very seldom is that an issue. When it's an issue is a guy's going up there and ripping somebody when he made a bunch of other mistakes, or he's doing it to, like, somehow, like, elicit some response. That's when it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways.
Jason, we love having you on the show.
Awesome.
We really do. Let me remind everyone, Garage Beer, get it. It's Jason's company. It's beer. So, Jason Kelce plus beer equals you. Drink it. The garage is always open. Light beer like it used to be. Find Garage Beer at your local retailer or online at garagebeer.com. Official beer of the Kelce brothers and dads everywhere. Thanks, Jason. Stay well, bud.
Thanks. I guess I just found my first... happens only one time.
What is it?
You become a dad.
Ah, there you go.
Becoming a dad.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that fair? Yeah. I don't know.
That's a big one.
You become multiple dads, but you only become a dad once.
Well done. There he is. Great Jason answer. Kelce. We appreciate it, Jason. Stay well. All right, coming up in 1 minute, what Rob Thompson said yesterday about trying to avoid rust with Dubai. We'll get to that in 1 minute.
When you're ready to propose and buy that forever ring, trust is more important than ever. And that's why I want you to go and meet my friends at Benari Jewelers. Engagement ring shopping is harder and riskier than ever. Be careful. You can end up with an inferior quality ring that you paid way too much for. With lab-grown diamonds and the myriad of ring styles out there, it's easy to make a mistake. But I'm telling you, trust Benari Jewelers. At Benari, they'll show you the inside secrets of the diamond business and how to avoid costly mistakes. Benari will show you how diamonds are priced and graded on the world market. Benari will teach you why the four C's are just the beginning of what you need to look for in a diamond. All this with a price guarantee that ensures you get the value you deserve. Free service for life and a 110% diamond upgrade guarantee. Get the education, guidance, and confidence you need at Benari Jewelers. Two showrooms, Exton and Newtown Square, online at BenariJewelers.com.
All right, Jody Cameron, John Ritchie with Seltzer and Ree, and Ruben here with us. Of course, getting ready for the Phils in the playoffs as well. Reminder, life advice with the Hammer coming up in about a half hour or so. Get those scenarios in. Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. What do you need some help with in life? I'll try to give you some good advice coming up in a few minutes. You know, we're all trying to figure out what the right advice should be for the Phillies to avoid rust with the bye. It's a good thing to have the bye unless you're so rusty you come out flat, which is a concern. Honestly, for me, that's a concern. I appreciated this answer from Rob Thompson yesterday, in part because, Johnny, basically Bill Belichick's it. He's like, what I know? I'm not going to tell you. Here's Rob Thompson. By the way, this is before the game yesterday, before they've secured the bye. Rob Thompson on trying to avoid rust with the bye.
What kind of maybe studies are you going to do to see what's worked and what doesn't work?
We've looked into it already. talked to a lot of teams.
That's it. That's his answer.
Strong.
All right. Rube, we've looked into it. That's all I'm going to tell you. That's all he should tell you.
So mysterious.
That's correct.
Right? I mean, because there's three other teams.
Advantage.
Three other teams are going to have a bye also.
Thank you.
If they figured something out, you know, they've probably been studying this.
Of course
the
they
whole
have.
Year.
All year.
The
they've
whole year.
They've had analysts. They've had, you know, all types of people. They've been relying on it. And he's going to have his own ideas. Rob's been around it a long time, man. He gets it.
I wonder who's played on these teams that have had a bye. Did Schwarber ever have a bye before? Or no, because he's been here the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Was Austin Hayes on a good team? Who did he play for?
They didn't have a bye, the Orioles.
He played for the Baltimore Orioles.
They didn't have one last year, James?
I don't think they had a bye last year, did they?
I don't know.
Orioles, did 100 they? 100 wins?
They had a lot of wins last year. I wonder if he, I don't know.
Did he win the AL East? I can't even think.
Well, it's either them or the Yankees.
Did. Yeah, I think they
my,
did.
My point is, you would try to tap into people that have gone through it and say, all right, what worked, what didn't work? And let's try to be the best we can be.
Yep.
We'll see. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Roland right now. Good morning, Roland.
Good morning, guys. How are you this morning?
Doing well, Roland.
Yeah, great. I just want to say, I don't think the bye is going to affect them. I do know that the Phillies have had a bad, poor record about playing the first game and losing.
Well, that's not true. They haven't lost a first game in any of the series the last 2 years. None of them.
Well, no, I'm not talking about in the series. I'm actually talking about them during the season. I've been following their away games, and it seems like the first game to a couple of those away games, they seem to have.
Well, fair enough. Well, look, this is a different thing because you hand the ball to Zach Wheeler. So this isn't like handing the ball to some, you know, one out of five times to Zach Wheeler. Like, he will start game one. And that will give the Phillies a competitive advantage. But by the way, other teams in the postseason have good pitchers also. Let's not act like it's Zach Wheeler against their Taiwan Walker. I mean, you know, these other teams put some real pitchers out there now.
Yeah, I actually think that Sanchez should definitely go. We should definitely pitch him third game and definitely pitch Wheeler second game. Well, Wheeler first and then Nola. That's my
opinion. I would go Nola too as well. By the way, you know what tells you how much the other teams have good pitchers? This to me really sums it up. Would you guys agree in the 2 years, I mean, we could look it up and get empirical evidence, but in the 2 years that Zach Wheeler has pitched in the postseason, he hasn't had a bad start. Not one time. There's not one time where it's like, nah, he really dropped the ball.
I don't remember.
He hasn't. His record's only 4-3. I mean, to show you, like, that Cardinals game one 2 years ago, he pitched great. The Phillies were down 2-0 entering the ninth inning. That's not his fault.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, no, they came back and won the game. That was an incredible ninth inning comeback. But Zach Wheeler has never, ever not delivered a good start for the Phillies in the postseason.
Have they seen Rangers numbers in the postseason?
So do you consider him, Ruben, or do you go straight to Sanchez?
Well, that's why you can't knock him out. I mean,
well, you are knocking him out if you only start three in the first round.
But you can't knock him out long term. Like, you got to think about what he's done in the past and how he's got sort of ice water in his veins too. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys, and you think about what Nola's done, the clinching games. I mean, he's pitched really well in the clinching.
No
games
question.
How much does it matter to alternate? I mean, I know it seems like we alternate everything in baseball: left, right, left, right, left, right. Does it matter that we would alternate our starting pitching arms?
It does matter, I think, at times, but in this case, I just think that the experience and what these guys have done, I think they're going to go Wheeler, Nola. I just feel like that's going to happen.
Roland, give me a great answer. What, from a non-sports standpoint, happened only one time?
I have two. Well, I have one answer for non-sports, but I also have one that I think is pretty cool that I heard the other night. The non-sports one I have is the dinosaur extinction. I think the only time the dinosaurs are through extinction was one time.
Kinda.
I guess the end of any
there have been multiple extinction events.
Yeah,
perhaps.
Yeah, that's.
But not dinosaurs because we've only had them one time on the planet.
Maybe.
What's this other random thing you want to say?
Well, I heard the other night on the radio when I was watching the game how Kyle Schwarber, who I think is a key factor in all of these playoff games, if he plays really well, I think that we'll do good because he had a really big slump in the summertime. But I really think if he picks it up this playoff, we'll have a really good run. I really do.
Well, listen, he's
Roland.
King.
I think Kyle Schwarber in my mind is like captain of this team, and I agree with you. How he goes, we go in many cases.
Yeah, I don't worry about
it
him.
Feels
I feel like he was the MVP of him and Wheeler. I think we're the MVPs of the team this year.
I think so.
Boy, Hoffman was really good. Hoffman was great too.
You're right. Hoffman was phenomenal.
All right, so Ruben, it's just my brain just tapped into 15 years ago thinking about this 2-3-4. God, I hate to do it to you, but I got to ask this question. Was it a mistake? So Jay Happ in 09, I thought, was your second best starter behind Cliff Lee. He wasn't in the rotation when you guys got going there because Pedro would come in and you had whatever. You had Blanton and you had Cole and you had Cliff. Was that a mistake looking back to not have Jay Happ in that rotation?
I don't know. I just feel like the other guys with some of their experience, Jay Happ was great. I mean, he really pitched well, and I think David Montgomery was upset with me when I traded him for – we ended up trading him for Oswalt, I think.
Well, that's getting something legit.
I mean, when we made trades, we try to get guys who were good players when we were moving good players. I don't know. It's hard to say it's a mistake. It really is. I mean, you know, when you kind of go with the guys that you feel most comfortable with and you – just feel like you're taking risks when you're going with younger players.
Yeah. Let me ask you this question, Ruben, because and I'm sorry to bring it back. I mean, 09, I mean, it was a great year. It just obviously ended with a loss. And
I supposed to remember all this stuff?
Yeah.
Joe does.
Let me ask you this. The GM, which you were, Dombrowski's not, but it's essentially like the GM. He oversees baseball operations.
He's basically.
Sam Fold technically GM, but Dombrowski's, you know, all right. So, entering the postseason, you've given the lineup is the team is the team. You can't make any trades. It is what it is. You have set what you have set. What is the balance at that point between excitement for the postseason and nervousness that it might crash and burn in 3 to 5 days?
Yeah,
because we all kind of feel that as fans. Yeah. What does a general manager feel?
I think you just stay. I tried to stay in the moment. I didn't think about outcome. I tried to stay in the moment. I remember sitting in Yankee Stadium, and it was the very first game of the World Series, and I'm sitting in there, and Cliff Lee's getting ready to take the mound at some point, and I'm thinking to myself, I cannot believe I'm the GM of the Phillies, and we're playing against the Yankees in my very first year of tenure.
That's amazing.
And we're playing in the World Series, trying to win back-to-back World Series. And I know I think about those moments and how important they were to me personally, but also to the fan base and the people that I worked with and how moving that was for all of them. And I've had, you know, assistant GM, Benny Looper came up to me and said, no one's ever done this with a team that Pat Gillick has, you know, sort of bequeathed. And so all those moments were really special. So knowing my family's in the stands in New York, you know, all those things were, I got to meet, you know, the first and second lady. I mean, just crazy stuff that you don't. And I tried to stay as much in the moment as I possibly could. And you just have no control of what's going to happen. You just let the boys play and you're nervous about every pitch and such. But I think back on those moments, how special they were, because they never happen.
Yeah.
Never happens.
No, it's fascinating to hear that. I'll just say from my standpoint, getting closer, I'm getting more nervous. I just am. I mean, because
I'm getting excited as it gets closer.
So you're getting more excited than nervous.
I'm getting more excited than nervous.
Are you excited or nervous?
Oh my God, I'm excited. How are you nervous? What are you nervous about?
I get being nervous.
The whole
damn
thing can end quick.
I'm more excited than nervous.
Reed, how about this one? 1883.
Oh, for goodness.
2024.
Yes.
Two championships, and the rest not.
I'm aware.
I mean, you know what I mean?
It's three straight years they've been in the playoffs.
No, I know. All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day to round out the poll from the 7 o'clock hour.
The nervous makes me think that you feel like, I don't know, like you need to perform or something, like as a man, I gotta perform as a man,
you experience the joy of being in the playoffs.
Clean it up down there
all the time. That's why they celebrate. I get a little sideways when people say, well, if they don't win the World Series, it's a failure. I'm sorry, that's not the case for me. Yes, they all want to win the World Series. So do 29 other teams.
Sure. I agree with you, Ruben. I think it's unfair to hold them to that standard, especially in a sport.
It's not right. It is what it is. Like, I get your point, Ruben, and it is.
But they collapsed
nice
last year.
Yeah, like, the end of the day, sports are about championships. And to Joe's point, we have two in our lifetime, and two ever with this team,
right.
Two in our lifetime overall with four teams. Like, and this team has gotten there. They've gotten to the World Series. They've had their chances. Like, at the end of the day, this group has to win a World Series. They have to. Like, it's World Series or bust as a group. It doesn't necessarily have to be this year, but this year, next year, the year after, like, they have to win a World Series for us to look at this fondly.
Well, look,
I expect
you can't say that.
He can say they will be back every year. They will be in the playoffs, returning, and they will tweak it, and they will try to make it better than the
course,
year before.
Of course, but they have to win one is my point.
And
they
I expect they will continue to do this until they look at it
fondly, the way that this group deserves to be looked at, like they have to win one.
If not, here's what they are. They're the Donovan and Doc Eagles. They're the Lindros and LeClaire Flyers. It was a great run. And it was a fun 5 or 6 years, whatever it turns out to be.
But
they didn't win at all.
But I mean, that's, it's a big but.
No, I understand. All right, let's close out the poll related to the whatever hour the hell we're on. So the Twitter poll question is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. See, the problem is we got so many polls today. I'm getting confused. All right, it's tailgate season at Armin Chevrolet. Check out the incredible lineup of SUVs at ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. So one question, we'll get to this next hour, is Jalen Hurts a top 10 NFL quarterback? We'll see where people vote. James, if you can, try to find me the poll from the summer so we can assess how it contrasts to the summer poll. All right, now the second poll question is, which of these is the best character or example of a fictional royal? Fictional royal. So, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, he's a prince. Prince Akeem of Zamunda from Coming to America, or Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Ugh.
I have the poll result here. Rhea, which would you vote for?
Even though he's had some issues the past couple of years, I gotta go with Prince of Bel-Air.
It's a big one.
Yeah.
Seltzer?
I would go with Prince Hakeem. I love that movie.
I will also go with Prince Hakeem for one specific reason. The scene in Madison Square Garden is one of the great scenes ever.
And so great.
And for years, I have wanted someone to duplicate that for me.
Of course you would. That is the most Joe DiCaprio thing of all time.
I used to dream about...
Hail Hammer! Oh, my goodness!
I used to dream about a first date.
Oh, what a move that would be. Where somebody would do that
on a first date, like, help me out, and someone, you know, just you know, makes me seem really cool to this girl. But, all right, what are you going to do? All right, Ruben, Prince Hakeem, Fresh Prince, or Robin Hood?
Robin Hood.
Oh, no. What the?
He's a classic, John.
It's a great movie.
You went Robin Hood. I cannot get over that.
All right, John,
That's a shocker.
Which would you go with?
Prince Akeem. This is not even close.
All right, John, you say Prince Akeem wins?
Prince Akeem of Zamunda is the proper choice.
He won because it was clean.
Yes!
Wipers!
Well done.
All right, Prince Akeem's going to be in the finals.
I want to say the yes.
Yeah.
Bleep you too. Can't say that
so
one.
So Prince Akeem, 43% of the vote, 30% for the Fresh Prince, and 27% for Robin Hood. So into the finals goes Prince Akeem. Also into the finals is Zeus. And we'll also have now the third poll question. The Lion King, the Night King, Prince Charming. Lion King, Night King, Prince Charming, get voting. We'll get the results of that in the 9 o'clock hour.